Hey guys, are you in a band in Austin? And you're out there floating around in a netherworld of obscurity and mediocrity, and you want to rise to the top like the cream? Well, you can start by rehearsing, and you can start by checking out Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording. Countless pros, including myself, rehearse there. Just call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Tell them you heard about it on How Did I Get Here, and you'll get one free hour. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I have an incredible show for you today. I have the return of Jason McMaster, yes, Texas Music Hall of Fame member. He is, his band Evil United has just put out a new album called Honored by Fire. It's fantastic, you'll hear a little bit of that. And then at the end, you're going to hear a song that he put out last Christmas, which I thought I'd put on this one since it's getting close to that time. And you might want to put together your holiday music playlists. I know people like to do that. Christmas time will be great for that. Xmas time is what it's called. You can find it on iTunes. Jason McMaster from Watchtower, Dangerous Toys, Godzilla Motor Company, Broken Teeth, Evil United, Sick, Igniter, Kill 'Em All, Sad Wings, Big Balls. Jesus, this guy does so much stuff. And he is like, he is just the hardest working guy in metal. That's what I think. And in hard rock. And in rock. Fuck, man, in rock. That guy's out there, he's doing it all the time. So you will enjoy my conversation with him. He's always insightful. He's a very sweet guy. I've known him for over 20 years, and we always have a great conversation. This one is less of a journey through his life and more of just like, hey, what's going on, Jason? So, we have a great conversation. Stay tuned for that. Let me tell you what's going on with me. Let's see what I do this weekend. I played on the radio. I went and was a guest on this Singers and Songs show that my friend Rush Evans has on there on the Co-op radio station, 91.7 here in Austin. I went on Saturday. Fun Fest was in town this weekend. I did not go or attend any of that, but I did see Jay Maskus on the trail when I was running. He was riding a bike. That was exciting for me. Big long hair guy, you know, hippie dude riding around, woo, having a good time in Austin. He looked like a Keep Austin Weird guy. I think he was wearing like a purple sweatshirt or something. Anyway, Fun Fest, did not attend, but I did go on the radio on Saturday afternoon, and then Saturday night, I played with Skyrocket at Hanover's in Pflugerville. We play that show a lot. It was fun. It was a good time. Zuri came with me. She has a good time. She's got, you know, friends go out there. They were all hanging out, having shots. Having a good time. It's always weird when everyone's always partying and you're working. Because what we do is like a party thing, but we're actually at work. And while you wish you were having the same time that everyone else was having because it's Saturday night and you're having a good time, it's actually like, you know, your Tuesday afternoon. Or, you know, Wednesday afternoon, depending on how many nights you played that week. Or Thursday, fuck, you know, you could be playing your ass off. I only played Saturday. I mean, I did that thing on the radio. I played about 6 songs. I think I'll post it on SoundCloud. I'll post it as my co-op performance. So if you go to my SoundCloud, Johnny Gowdy, it's there. It'll be there. I'll put it up maybe tonight or tomorrow or something. Just check it out. If that's something you're interested in, then go there and check it out. I know that some people listening to the podcast may not necessarily be into my music, which I totally understand. And some people that listen to my music aren't totally into the podcast, which I also totally understand. But can't we all get along? That's the main question. Can't we all get along? Speaking of music being out there, my friend Susanna Schaffel has a Pledge music campaign, and they're closing in on the end of it. And she's got a new record she's going to put out. She's got a new baby she's going to put out. She's got a lot of stuff going on in her life. We were going to do a phone thing where she could come on and promote it one last time before it ends. But I believe there's very little time left, maybe 6 or 7 days, 5 days. Get out there and check it out. Susanna Schaffel, she was our first guest on this show. She's a fantastic person and a great artist. I would like to see her album come out and come out in style. So let's do that. Support Susanna Schaffel on Pledge Music. Go do it. On the Mr. Rocket Baby front, I don't know if you guys know, if you listen to the show, I was in a band that split up about 20 years ago, and the original members are coming back together that haven't played together since July of 1994. We're coming together to play December 6th at the 1 to 1 bar. If you don't have your tickets, I think it's either sold out or pretty close to being sold out. But, you know, I've been learning the songs, working on it. I even played one on that co-op show. I played one of the songs from our album on there. I've been learning the songs, getting back into it, kind of psyching myself up to do it. You know, I'm a little bit nervous. I've said this before on the show. You know, this is the first time that all of us are going to be in a room together since July 1994. It's going to be a couple days before the gig. We got guys from out of town. They're flying in a couple days before the show, a couple days of rehearsal, and then a gig. Hopefully, for me, I'm not a big like reunion guy. I wasn't big on getting back together with anyone. You know, we've been asked to do this before and we didn't do it. Or I never even gave it a thought. I was always like, no, I don't want to do that. But there was something in the air. I thought like, you know, a little healing would be good. You know, maybe get together with these guys, be in a room and walk out of it a little bit better than I left it last time, which was pretty ugly. Guys, you know, didn't talk to me for a long time. Now maybe we can, man, now maybe we can fix that in a way that, not that we have to hang out every day, but have a good feeling when we think about, you know, the time and being in the band, we can have a new feeling and enjoy those songs. People really like that band. I like that. There's people coming in from all over the country, you know, and the more I listen to the songs, the more I like them. I used to shun them. I didn't want to play those songs. I don't like the way I sang on that album. You can hear that album on SoundCloud. You can look up Mr. Rocket Baby if you want to hear it. I don't like the way I sang on that album. I still don't. And I'm glad I'm going to get to sing those songs and sing them the way that I feel like I sing now and not like I did back then. Anyway, that's a little bit into my neurosis of getting ready to do Mr. Rocket Baby as I sort of psych myself up, put together a pedal board with lots of swirling guitar sounds, which I love, and I've missed playing with, so I'm going to enjoy doing that. So, yeah, Mr. Rocket Baby, December 6th, 2014, at the 1 to 1 bar in Austin, Texas. It's getting crazy. Skyrocket, we figured out our New Year's thing. If you're a Skyrocket fan and you listen to this show, you can go to our Facebook page. There's an event for it for New Year's in Houston. That's where we'll be going. We have a space that we rented out with the owners of Rockefellers, and we are doing a party, a New Year's Eve party, which you are invited to if you do pay cover to get in. So that's a big night for us, New Year's Eve. It's a big night for everyone. I have New Year's resolutions coming up. Maybe I do need to quit smoking. I've tried a little bit, not a lot. I've done the electronic guy for like half the day and then end up smoking. I don't know how I'm going to do that, man. I've done it before, and I feel like a dick because I abandoned it, you know, and now I have to start over. Every time you start smoking again after you quit, you got to start over from ground zero. And ground zero is not a pretty sight. I eat like fuck. I snack like crazy. I'm going to go get peanuts and saltine crackers. I don't know. Shit. I got to figure it out, man. I don't want to do the gum or the lozenges or any like chewing tobacco. The vapor is really kind of the way to go, but it doesn't really satisfy as it should. Things need to satisfy, you know, like rock and roll. Jason McMaster, he makes rock and roll that satisfies. He's got a new album out with his band Evil United. It's called Honored by Fire. You can check that out. It's out there, you know. It's actually available on vinyl, too, which you can order. Check out jasonmcmaster.net to find out what all of his bands are doing. And they're all playing. I know he just played during the Fun 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 Fest with Steel Panther. One of his bands, I think it was Broken Teeth. Man, he's got so many bands, I don't even know where to go. The legendary, groundbreaking prog metal band Watchtower, that's where he started out. Then he was in Dangerous Toys, Good Times, rock and roll band, you know, Cock Rock. He did that. You know, he's done some screaming bands. He's this Evil United is pretty fucking metal, man. You'll hear it right now. There's a song coming up right after I stop talking. So maybe I should stop talking. Enjoy my conversation with my dear friend, Jason McMaster. I love this guy so much. He's really inspiring, and he's really supportive, and he's always been a guy that you can look up to and go like, man, I hope I can keep it up like he does. All right? Enjoy my conversation with Jason McMaster. Let's get down.
Right, and you made a big, you laughed out loud, and that's why I even said anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, what's it called?
Captain Fantastic.
Okay. That's a great name.
Well, it's overused. If you just Google that, there's
other bands.
There's other dudes my age or older doing Elton John tributes. You know, Captain Fantastic, the ultimate Elton John tribute. You know, I'm like, God damn it.
Well, let me ask you, you're not going to wear those glasses, though. You got to wear some more, nothing against those glasses, but they're not,
Captain Fantastic-y. Everybody who's all about the look and the show, they've said exactly what you've said. You know, I don't have a fucking gig yet, you know.
Right, but you have the band.
Obviously, I don't have the glasses that people want me to wear, but I have the band ready.
I have to say something, and this is mm-hmm. I don't want to set a tone that I'm like a kiss ass or anything, but I was so flattered when you sent me an email, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Where do you think I should play? I was like, wow, you're asking me. Like, I sat
That's
back
right.
for a minute and I was like, oh man, I better think about this.
Here's the deal. I don't know if this pollutes what you just told me. You know, I got love for you, Johnny, but here's the deal. I didn't even think. I just like blurted that out when I saw your name just, you know, flying by. I was like, oh yeah, he's the perfect guy to ask this.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. I don't feel like I did anything that I wouldn't have done to you anyway.
Thank you. But you don't play piano in it, right? You're going to be like fronting
the
band as a
singer.
Oh no,
you don't want to hear me on the keys. You don't want to hear me. That's the only instrument I don't even try to teach a kid, you know.
Yeah. Do you teach?
9 years.
Yeah. Oh yeah, at the
school of rock
up north.
I'm Jack Black, yo.
Yeah.
9 years. It's crazy.
Shit.
It's fucking crazy.
What do you teach? Bass, guitar, and vocals.
Vocals in this order: vocals, guitar, bass, and drums.
Okay.
And they usually throw the little girls to me. I'm singing Katy Perry and Taylor Swift and shit.
Yeah. Where do you stand on that? Because you like all music. You don't have any problem with music.
No, I don't. You know, in my younger years, I was a fucking dick about music. I was just a snob. You know, if it's not metal, it sucks. You know, and when you... The funny thing is I grew up on Queen and Elton John. And, you know, Kiss was a great... Kiss was a gateway band to all that was metal. Oh,
but weren't metal guys into Queen?
A fucking A.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they're not, they're not. They don't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
The cool thing about Queen, and I was into Alice Cooper too, and he's not metal either, but he's
sinister.
He is, right. Oh, nice word.
Yeah.
I like it. I liked Elton and I liked Alice Cooper for the same reasons that I liked
Kiss.
Kiss. Yeah. Yeah. And there is a connection. But what I was going to say about Queen is, they did it all. They wrote metal songs. They wrote show tunes. They wrote ragtime.
Yeah.
They wrote it all. They did it all. And on almost on every album, you know, everyone knows them from, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody, of course. But let's just talk about that for 2 seconds. See what I mean?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
It has everything. Like, it has metal. It has hard rock. It has show tune. I mean, they're tongue in cheek. You know, you know, Galileo, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's Ethel Merman, you know, it's so excellent and funny and perfect and everything has everything. But anyway, that's just a good throw of if you like that, you like Queen because that's got everything in it.
Yeah. So with the Elton thing, with Captain Fantastic, you already have a band together. piano, yeah, bass, couple guitar guys.
Yeah, I'm playing guitar and okay. singing, and it's, you know, I'm the shitty rhythm guitar player, right? But I'm singing, so, you know, I'm not even looking at my guitar. I'm right. trying to sing, right?
These aren't easy songs.
Learning those songs over the years, you know, they're in my DNA, and half of them I was playing wrong until I actually had a band to back me up, and I said, oh, I better really learn these chords, right?
Yeah.
Because I just like singing them, so I would just muddle through the chords just so I could sing.
Right,
them,
right. You
know? And, yeah, it's a bunch of dudes that I work with at the School of Rock with the only outside guy is David Beeson, who plays guitar in Broken Teeth.
All right.
With me. So,
and Broken Teeth's still going strong?
Yeah, we're playing tomorrow with Steel Panther.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Yeah. It's part of the fun shit.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Steel Panther is out supporting Judas Priest. Judas Priest is playing tomorrow on the Fest. And while they're playing, I'll be loading into the Mohawk opening for their support act, Steel Panther.
Oh, that'll be great.
They didn't have room for Steel Panther on the festival, on the auditorium shores, the big stages.
Right.
So they put them downtown, what they call fun nights.
Yeah.
So it's after, all this weekend, after the festival, everyone goes downtown for a brew.
Yeah.
They're, with their wristband, they walk in and still see class act.
Yeah.
Right.
How's Steel Panther? They're pretty fucking over the top.
They're way over the top. Their guitar player, they're like a comedy act / studio musician,
right?
/ tongue in cheek, toilet humor, South Park, cock rock, Sunset Strip, brutal. Like the first song I ever heard by Steel Panther is about fucking fat chicks called "Thar She Blows."
That was awesome.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, okay, got it.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
I got it. They painted themselves into a corner, and
yeah.
that's where they live. They've got two or three records out now. I don't keep up with them. My wife loves them. I know, you know, chicks, everyone loves them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all people love them because they are Spinal Tap meets South Park meets the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
Meets a filthy comedy stand-up routine.
Yeah.
All rolled into one big heavy metal show.
That's great. So, hey, speaking of your wife, this is how I found out you got married. I saw it on that metal show. I was watching it, and then you were there, and you just got married.
Well, I was about to get married.
You were about to get married. Yeah.
I actually, we did a ceremony the next day. So that filming was on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
2010. Yeah.
Oh, that's when that was?
Yeah, 2011, 10, 11, yeah. Fuck, I don't know. 10 or 11.
You must have been on then just after you were married. On my show.
Oh, on your show. Right. And I think I was a newlywed when we did this for the first time.
How did you meet her?
Man, just like every good rock and roll songs, I met my girl at a rock and roll show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It sounds like a Kiss song.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, just she had been to a bunch of my shows, and she was friends with, you know, some of the bands that I was friends with. And, you know, eventually I just said, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we just kind of, we hooked up, and then she never left.
That's great.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I only plan on doing it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd never been
people
married before.
No, I've never been married. Wow. And people freak out when they, Jason got married? You know what I mean?
When it's time, it's time.
Yeah. So.
What does she do?
She is a beauty consultant.
Oh, that's why you look so pretty.
She works retail. That's why I look so pretty. Maybe so. This is, by the way, I'm wearing no products. This is just by marrying a beauty consultant. That's right.
Yeah, she consults you on a nightly basis.
That's right.
So you guys did that the day before you got married, the metal show?
Yes. Yes, we were guests because Jim Florentine and those guys are fans of anything.
They're huge fans of anything
rock.
You do. Yeah. But they're huge fans of yours.
They dig it. They dig it.
I always see shirts like that. I've seen Broken Teeth shirts. I think I've seen Evil United shirts even on those guys.
You may have.
Yeah.
You may have.
Yeah.
I try to send them a box of goodies whenever I have something new out.
Yeah.
But yeah, those guys, it's interesting how I met Jim Florentine. I met him here in Austin years ago, and he was a huge Broken Teeth fan. I was still working at Encore Records when it was out on Anderson Lane.
Yeah.
And it was early in the morning, and I'm not an early riser. I am nowadays, but I wasn't at this point. And the phone rang at like 8 a.m., and somebody was on Dudley and Bob that I didn't know who the hell they were. And Chuck from Encore called me. He's like, "Hey, man, there's a guy on Dudley and Bob, KLBJ, talking about you right now." And I'm like, "I don't give a shit. Yeah. I'm sleeping right now."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I said, well, do you know who it is?" "No, I don't know who it is." So then my phone blew up again right after that. "Hey, man, this dude Jim Florentine, he's a comedian. He's playing at the Laugh Factory or whatever there on Anderson Lane. You know, the comedy."
Oh, the Cap City.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. And I was like, "Well, all right, we'll give him my number." "All right, I will." You know, someone in the loop of his shit. Or I got his number or whatever. Anyway, we hooked up, and it turns out I ended up meeting him at his show, and I took a bag of goodies and blah, 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 and we totally hit it off. We're the same age. He used to DJ and rock. He's not a musician, but he's a comedian, a touring comedian. He was on Crank Yankers, and he does that kind of toilet humor and does a stand-up. And I've seen his show a bunch of times. And, you know, while I'm on tour, I'd be in New York, and we'd go to the club he was playing at.
That's so cool.
Awesome. Yeah, just, you know, shit you would never... If rock and roll has taken me to places like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where I wouldn't probably even end up at all.
Yeah.
Or even have interest in unless there's some kind of like electricity, right?
Right.
Anyway, so I went to Cap City Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, yeah, I've got all your Broken Teeth records to date. I love your band Broken Teeth." I'm like, how the fuck do you know about that? He goes, "Man, a friend of mine in New York turned me on to it, and I went to your website, and I bought your shit."
Wow.
He just bought it online.
They're real fans,
He
man.
Bought it online.
Yeah.
And I looked through my files, and I found him, James. I have his credit card number, right?
Yeah.
He bought my shit legit.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And since then, we put out a bunch of new stuff, and, you know, he's in the loop, and then that metal show was born, and him and Don had been, you know, fans of Eddie Trunk's for years.
Yeah.
When they go on tour in the tri-state area, they'd be driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning back to Jersey, listening to Eddie Trunk play metal and talk about metal. Fast forward to now, December 12th at the Dirty Dog, Broken Teeth is opening for Eddie Trunk. He does a tour where he gets on stage and does Q&As with the audience tells stories about his years and people that he's met. And he's a big old, he likes UFO and Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, dude, that guy loves
Motorhead
UFO.
And Kiss. He likes everything. So he's met all these people. He's done interviews with Axl and blah, blah, blah. It's just, so he's going out telling all his stories and telling funnies and probably references to that metal show, and you know he's hung out with rock royalty pretty much his whole career.
Yeah.
So he does a tour, and you know the club gives him a little bit of money, and he does like probably an hour and a half set of just cool, fun factoids.
That's fucking awesome.
And so Broken Teeth, I got a call from a promoter here in town. "Hey, you want to Broken Teeth want to open for Eddie Trunk? It's a perfect. You guys kind of know each other already, and." I was like, fucking awesome. So it's Broken Teeth and Eddie Trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great...
December 12th at the Dirty Dog. It's going to be awesome.
Wait, what night of the week is that?
That's a Friday night.
Man, I hope I'm not playing. I'll come to that. I would love to see him. Anyway, I like him
a
lot.
Yeah, he has a couple of books out.
Yeah.
I don't know what their titles are. Eddie Trunk, Talks Rock, whatever.
Aren't you in them or something?
There might be mentions.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Let's talk about Evil United.
Okay.
Is that the main thing right now? You do so not, much shit.
No, I know.
It's kind of like...
The thing about Evil United is we're not as busy as it may seem in the way that, you know, we did just put out a new record.
Yeah.
Called Honored by Fire.
Great album.
Thank you. We just did Philip Anselmo's Housecore Horror Film Festival.
Oh, cool.
Right here, right across the street.
Oh, wow.
At Emo's
yeah.
Midway.
Yeah.
They pretty much rented the whole block and did that thing, a three-day thing, and Danzig played and Voivod played and just full-on assault.
Yeah.
As well, he had tents around the parking lot showing horror films the whole time.
Are you in that culture of I mean, because the Evil United, man, that could be in horror movies. Some intense shit in there.
Well, the deal with Evil United is back to what I was saying. I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Okay.
The we're not as busy as everybody thinks we are.
Right.
We just played a show with Cannibal Corpse, a show with Overkill. Those were both in San Antonio, just a couple of months apart. And then we did this Housecore Horror Fest. We've done just a handful of shows so far this year. And the record's only been out about 6 weeks, a couple of months tops.
Yeah, like August, right?
Yeah, and we want to play more, but I'm here. One of the guitarists is in Dallas,
okay.
And the rest of them are in San Antonio. But the bass player is in that New York band Riot, the old school band Riot,
yeah,
from New York, and he lives in San Antonio, but he's in Europe a lot, and he's, you know, Japan and whatever.
Right.
He does short runs with them, so it's tough to want to be busy with that project all the time because you just can't.
Right.
It's not a super group, but it's a bunch of dudes who are busy.
Have
as
a lot
shit,
of shit to do.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The drummer plays with Wednesday 13, who was in the Murder Dolls.
Oh,
if you ever heard of the Murder Dolls,
I've heard the name.
It had members of Slipknot.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, he played with Sebastian Bach for a while, and he's just the sickest. He's sick on drums, fucking sick. So it's a bunch of badass dudes that are just busy,
yeah.
Right? So we don't get to do a whole lot. But I love the new record. It was fun writing the songs. You know, the way we record is they'll send me rough mixes, and I'll load it into this little gadget technology, runs on batteries, it's made by Boss, and it makes WAV files.
Uh-huh.
I plug a 58 into it.
Vocals are cut on 58?
Yeah, cut my vocals and email them, and they slide them from the email into the session. Worldwide releases cut on a $200 gizmo with a 58.
That is wild.
Yeah. Technology.
There's something fucking totally raw yet so sophisticated
Sidebar for a second. Tease and Please and Dangerous Toys,
yeah.
The hit single that
yeah.
sold
yeah,
that
yeah,
record,
yeah, yeah.
Gold album, 58.
Really?
That's the only
that's
song.
That's your mic.
That's right. That's the only song on that record cut with a 58 is because... We were in there with Max Norman, and there was something of kick-ass about the demo version of Tease and Pleasin' that we couldn't get. I call it demo-itis.
Demo-itis, yeah.
And we couldn't get it to be as kick-ass as the demo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, something's missing, man. Attitude or the way I'm holding myself. I don't know what's up. Can I use a 58? He was like, fuck no. What the fuck? 58? Fuck. You know what I mean? I begged him. So... Got my way, 58. The fucking engineer's in there duct taping the cable, the mic cable to my arm and my torso because he's so afraid that it's going to make all this racket. Dude, racket and noise and, you know, this
yeah.
kind of shit
yeah.
is what makes records kick ass.
Yeah, 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 totally.
Anyway, he was just concerned like that. But, yeah, he used it. That's the track. I recut the whole thing on... on the 58. It's something about what you do live, you should fucking do in the studio.
Totally. Totally.
Use the same fucking gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the, yeah.
Don't you think?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, the biggest mistakes. God. Yeah.
You know, it's like you
biggest
gonna,
mistakes I've made is try to
overthink
leave
it.
Leave that out of it.
Like, well, no,
it's
always
out of control.
Say, yeah,
stop it.
I always say this little chestnut. Okay, so let me get this straight. You're gonna put this, you know, $10,000 microphone in front of me, and then you're gonna put a $2 pantyhose in front of it so I don't get any spit on it or some shit. Why don't you give me something that I can spit into? Because that's what I do.
Yeah.
Right? And put that on tape.
Yeah. So these tracks, they wrote the music on the Evil United?
They write the tunes. They send them to me. I write the words. I cut the vocals. Email them back. They mix it. I find a label that can put it out. You know, we go through the same shit. This is the second Evil United.
Yeah, record. Yeah.
And we... it's out on MVD. They're both out on MVD. That MVD is this cool, it's called Music Video Distributors. And the last Honky record, I think, was on MVD.
Okay.
And, you know, this kind of sounds shitty, but they pretty much put out anything and everything, right? But they do DVDs. They do it all. And I was referred to them when I couldn't find a label to put out a Dangerous Toys DVD that I produced. Now, this was been years ago now. But since then, two Evil Uniteds, a Dangerous Toys product, and an Igniter record all on MVD. And you just type in Music Video Distributors and so much shit's going to come up. They have a website called Sea of Sound. C like your eyes.
Yeah, S-E-E.
S-E-E of sound.com. And the world is yours.
Yeah. And I guess, well, here's a good way to get into this conversation. I found it on Spotify. So they put your stuff on all the different things. And
or someone does. The evil wizard of free music does that. The guy that's trying to screw you out of a cup, out of your nickel.
Right.
Is putting it on Spotify. I don't know.
What do you? I mean, I'm starting to get an idea. That's how you. I'm getting how you feel about Spotify.
Well, I like Spotify.
You do?
Yeah, because if I want to hear something, there it is. Music is fucking free, and everyone thinks that it should be now. And I can't. I'm one man. I can't. You know, if Lars,
you're like me, you say the same way. He can't do it. We can't do it.
If Lars, you know, Lars standing up for Metallica's music, stood up for my music. You know, if he wouldn't have gone against Napster years ago now, I wouldn't get the checks that I'm getting now.
Really?
Is the way that I look at it. I mean, because I feel like laws have been passed by Congress on that kind of shit.
Because of where, that stand and there's that
all,
he took.
Right, exactly. And there's all of these, there's more than one. Do you know Sound Exchange?
No.
You should sign up for Sound Exchange.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Okay.
And if you're an artist who's published, you should start an account with Sound Exchange. What these people do, and I think it's due to what Lars fucking did, the stand he took. There's more than one, but prime example, Sound Exchange is this thing where you start an account. They go after people who are playing your shit and selling your shit.
Online?
And they get money.
And stuff?
Yeah, and okay. They get the money for you and send it to you.
I'll get into that, man. You know, I had a thing where I had some songs on a TV show, and then that TV show was going to be online.
Right.
And, I mean, it's a whole song, so it's a good amount of money. Nothing, like, my lawyer could not find any way, any law to make them pay me. For the air, when it aired on, even if it was a lesser.
Did you register the song with ASCAP BMI, your people? You did? Well, then that's all you need.
Okay.
If they're not reporting and they can find proof that it's being spent.
It's like, you know, CBS.
Right. You just need to Sound Exchange, and, you know, it's not a thing where you're going to send your lawyer.
They do retroactive stuff with Sound Exchange?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll go find the money for you.
Yeah, and it's not like my lawyer is a jackass. I mean, he's awesome. But they're literally like, I mean, he was like, I've got like three dudes in my office and I can't find an actual law that says this is how much you get per play when someone's watching it on their computer later on.
Right. Well, at least you'll get your mechanicals on it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll find whatever, they'll find something else too.
Sure.
And it reads like your BMI check, it's just like a phone bill. It'll itemized.
Right.
Spins, satellite TV, right. Airplane, whatever. It's the same shit.
So with your royalties, do you feel like do you feel like they've gone down? Have you seen that your own personal royalties gone down? I had Tony Scalzo from Fastball here, and he used the word decimated since the whole...
Like crashed.
Like over the last like 4 or 5 years since Pandora and Spotify.
It's a crash. Yeah, crash. It's a crash.
I mean, that was his livelihood, you know?
Yeah.
Like he wrote that song.
Yeah.
Or those two songs, and that was his life.
Yeah, the songs I hear in the HEB on South Congress.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, which I love.
I bet they play some dangerous toys. I hear some wacky stuff in the HEBs.
Oh, now. I believe that.
Grocery store music isn't what it used to be.
No, they're playing oldies. I hear Frankie Valli in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear Frankie Valli, but I hear, you know, Britney Spears and shit too. Yeah. So
sorry.
No, that's okay.
Where do you stand on it?
My checks have never been that grand anyway, right. But you know, they're direct deposit.
Yeah.
When my bank account looks like there's been a slight flux,
yeah.
It's because my quarterly check came in. But you know, I don't care. I'll lend people the information. It's under $300 every time. There's rarely anything that's big in there.
Right.
My quarterly check's a couple $100 most of the time.
Yeah, I've never lived off it, and it made me start realizing that I have had like kind of this, and it's not a bad way or anything, it's a very blue collar career in music. You know
fucking
what I mean?
Where
I go out.
Oh yeah.
I go out and I play and they pay me at the end of it and I go home.
Right.
There's not a lot of invisible money.
No, like, that's like morning Fred. Hi Frank. Exactly. You know, you're clocking in and you're just playing a gig. It's like if you don't have a gig, you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to rag on Austin because it's a popular thing to do now as far as what we're talking about. But, you know, it's hard to get paid anyway doing anything. But if you're going to be an artist... Sometimes it's even worse because there's somebody else behind you that's not even being commissioned because they just want to play and they'll say it in their, they'll wear it on their sleeve. Oh, I'll do this for cheaper or free.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm going to decimate you right now. The old guys like us are having a hard time competing with that.
Yeah. It is because we expect, there's a certain thing we sort of expect. You don't want to take a pay cut after you've been doing this for so long.
I almost feel like some of the bars and clubs who have signs that just say live music out front, you know, they're not saying if it's any good. It could be a guy and his dog barking, playing guitar. Woof, 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 shinga, chinga, chinga, woof, 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 shinga, shinga, shinga. And they call that live music. And that's what, you know, it's the live music capital of the world. We've got live music in here. Yeah, but who the fuck is it? Is it good? Are they a vet? Is it kick ass? What the hell is it? They don't care. Look, honey, take a picture. We're in the live music capital of the world. That's how I really feel about it.
Me too.
But it's dumbing down the people who will shed tears and write a song about it. And it's that real.
Yeah.
And you can't. That's your living. And sure, you want to make money off of a song that means something to you, but it's not always about that either.
No. No.
So when you mix up your heart and your wallet,
gets a little
fucks
tough.
It all up.
Yeah, it totally does.
And but you got to live. You got to eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. You know,
Tony's right. It's a dead thing.
Yeah.
You know, just glad Lars did what he did because I wouldn't even have gas money.
Yeah. Well, all hail to him. I was watching this documentary on Netflix like a couple months ago called Downloaded, which is about that whole Napster thing. And I didn't realize that like the day he delivered the names was like the day before our album came out. That was it. It's like, man, so I wonder why we couldn't get him on the phone during that time. I was like, yeah. Well, I guess he was fighting a much bigger battle at the time.
Yeah, your man was busy and being...
For
being,
everyone. He's not wasn't just fighting for us. He's fighting for everyone, yeah. Including us.
Yeah.
And you.
That's
and
the, right.
And them.
That's right. And, that's what, and yeah. As well as being murdered by people who didn't understand why
yeah,
he
that was
doing
the
it.
Part that made me yeah. really, really sad about it, was he really was going to bat. His life wasn't going to change that much from it.
No. He was just making a stand because he's not afraid to do that. Mm-hmm. He didn't give shit.
Yeah.
He was in a really good, you know, still is. He's in a better position now than he was back then.
Yeah.
To even go up and say something like, hey, fuck you. And I have a list of fuck yous.
Yeah.
You think you can just do that? You know, not to just harp on this whole thing, but I have a thing that my guitar player, Jared Tootin, sent me a couple of years ago. It was an article about Iron Maiden and illegal downloading. And there was all these people that they could, you know, pinpoint somehow, I don't know, software, I guess, of who downloaded Iron Maiden songs and didn't pay anything.
That's what Metallica delivered.
Right. Well, Iron Maiden did the same thing. That blows my mind that you could even figure out how to do that. Anyway, so Iron Maiden did something very similar, and how they got back at those full-on continents of people
yeah.
is they went to those continents and they stressed their tour dates on those continents, and they double charged the concert ticket prices. They double charged t-shirts. That, like, their inflation went up in those countries that were fully loaded illegal downloaders. So they punished.
Yeah. But that seems like that would start a cycle, and then the people
not necessarily. They just, there was an article written about it. I don't know. They probably didn't put out a press release that said, "Fuck you, we're coming to your town, and you're going to pay this because you love us."
Yeah,
you know. But if tickets were $100 last year at some huge Iron Maiden fest in Brazil, they were $250 the next year because they'll pay it over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the biggest band in Brazil. South America, Iron Maiden owns it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the fans are, you know, downloading their music for free. Doesn't mean that they're not downloading Iron Maiden for free.
Right.
Because music is fucking free now. It sucks. And Iron Maiden's going to go, yeah, sorry, our tickets are $250. Sure does suck for you, doesn't it?
Well,
enjoy the show.
You got a free album, yeah.
Enjoy the show. Right. You got a free album. Well, now we're going to make you pay for it.
Yeah.
Without even, it's like slipping in the back door with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for downloading our record.
Yeah.
Here's the new ticket price.
So when you go to put out an album with like Evil United, there's physical copies?
It's on vinyl.
It's on vinyl? Oh, that's badass.
Mm-hmm. We had to pay for it. It's limited number. And then, you know, they make them as you go as far as CDs go.
Oh, okay.
But we threw in the money to do the vinyl just because they offered it, you know, as a, you know, hold it in your hand kind right. of thing. So it's, you can get it anywhere. It's on vinyl. It's for sale on vinyl here in town at probably the
End
only
of
town
year,
that
Waterloo.
Got it. I don't think it's at either of those places. It's at Encore.
Encore. Okay.
Yeah. You have to go look for it and order it. And they do.
Encore has a pretty, not to use a silly word for it, but a pretty wicked fucking metal selection.
They do.
They seem to have maybe the.
They do, but they also have
Tons of other
yeah,
stuff. But
weird,
if you were
cool,
a metal guy,
you know they have. Yeah,
that would
yes,
be the place
yes,
that you would go.
Yes, yes. And End of Veneer, Encore,
End of Veneer is good, yeah.
And Waterloo is not too bad, but they're like they've always been sort of a hipster, cool South by Southwest store.
Right.
Right. And End of an Ear and Encore are not necessarily those things at all.
No.
Maybe hipster a little bit, but it's more niche.
Yeah. Is that what you feel? Like, how do you feel about the landscape of music now? Like, for me, let me preface this by saying a thing like that metal show. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I've watched probably every episode of that show. From the second I saw those guys, I'd met Eddie very peripherally one time with Lars, but kind of like heard him talk a lot. And I was like, this fucking guy is like into it. Like, this guy's got his fucking sleeves rolled up. Like, on the radio when I'd seen him on VH1. He had been on there like just kind of being a regular video judge, like on VH1 right. Classics or something.
Right.
And that's I recognized him from that. But then I just hearing him talk and just the fucking guy just like, you know, he knows the drummer from this thing. And like, you know, then I started watching the show, getting so into it. But then I started realizing that it seems to be growing. Is that right? Or is there just more light shed on metal now?
I love the question, but I don't really know how to go about saying that. You know, I don't stress on how many fucking subgenres of metal there are anymore because, you know, there'll be walk-in trial lessons at the school I teach at, and there'll be this young, you know, kid with piercings sitting there with his mom in a trial lesson, and I'm showing them how I would be teaching them, you know, ear training and whatever, and, you know, getting you to learn how to sing. But, you know, obviously you like metal from your attire.
Yeah.
What's your main go-to? And they say shit like metalcore or deathcore or something like that. I'm like, I just want to say right in front of their mom, what the fuck is that? Right? And you know what I mean? And the kid's like 13, yeah, you know, 12 or something. Oh, I'm into deathcore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you just made that shit up right now, punk,
yeah.
Right? And then I'll go, well, what is that? And then he'll do a pig squeal is what it's called. You know,
yeah.
Or, you know, the gurgly, I call it the Evil Dead singer.
Yeah, that's
because Evil Dead, the movie, and all of the crazy overdubbed voices in that fucking movie, but way back when, spawned an entire generation of vocalists who wanted to do that.
I've always heard of this Cookie Monster rock.
Yeah, but Cookie Monster is more cookie.
Oh, that's a different.
Yeah, it's kind of a barky type
of. Okay, so this is a different.
Yeah,
it the pig squeal is.
Yeah. You know, it's literally pigs.
Wow.
And some of them are breathing in. Like, that's the only way I know how to do it. But some of them do it, you know, out. They do it correctly, and it doesn't, they don't choke. I choke when I do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And, and every song, you know, song two, you know, it's just fucked up. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, I love it that it's so fucking adventurous. To think that you guys thought that this was the most brutal way to express yourself scary and freaky. And I fucking love it. Bring it on. You bulldozer me with it. I love it. You know, I'm the grass, you're the lawnmower. Bring it the fuck on.
Yeah.
And I love it that metal has reached out that and going on for years now, the
years.
Brutality of different, you know, let's tune our E string to fucking A.
Yeah.
Low A.
Yeah.
Let's make that the A.
Doug Pinnick had some band in the late 90s that I went to go see with my, do you know Dane Saunier?
No.
The guy from Houston.
That sounds
familiar.
He was
in the Galactic Cowboys.
Okay.
They had a band
together.
I'm sure
I met him.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they had some band and they'd like, I think they were tuned down to B, but like, Jesus, music's making me want to take a shit.
Was it Dog Pound?
It was Dog Pound.
Yeah.
It was in fact
like
Dog Pound.
Yeah. Eric Tatuaca was the drummer.
Eric Tatuaca was the drummer in that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think like you said, landscape, I think it's all been done. I think, you know, from bands in the 90s, like System of a Down.
Right.
Which is very progressive and technically musical and melodic and Frank Zappa at the same time, which is very all of the above. You say Frank Zappa, that's exactly what Frank Zappa is and was.
Right.
I think that when you've done that, as far as, you know, I mean, it makes me think of Watchtower when I hear some of these. Right. And talk about, you know, you're a little kid, but you're part of, you're creating this shit. You don't even realize that you're doing it, but you're creating this whole new thing.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I think, happens every once in a while. Someone will just hear it differently, rebox it, put it out there, and just think nothing of it.
Yeah.
And somebody, some critic or a fan or somebody hears it and goes, holy shit, I've never heard anything like this before. And I'm a freak about music.
Yeah.
And it makes you just kind of go, oh, yeah, it's just something we threw together. Because it is. Just something that people just throw together.
You were just making that music at that time.
Well, fast forward to now. Hopefully somebody in a basement somewhere is doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's something we've never heard before. Because it's been a while. But I'm really tired of whatever deathcore is. I'm tired of people just calling it that.
Yeah, I don't even...
I still don't know what that is. But if it's just pig squealing the whole time, I'm probably not going to be able to get into it. Yeah. There's a lot of bands on Metal Blade Records that do that kind of thing. And there's a reason why they have a worldwide release out. It's because they're fucking good at it. And the people that are signing those bands find it to be somewhat marketable enough. And we just need to have faith in the people that actually have signing power to want to release the new record by a band that's creating something that somebody with a blog put two words, you know, together to create this subgenre. You know what I mean? This the new thing, whatever it is. I just call it rock and roll.
Yeah, that's...
If you're breaking rules, it's rock and roll. Because if it's not dangerous, it's not rock and roll. And the shit that's happening is fucking dangerous sounding. So dangerous so that it, like, I don't have to like it anymore because it's just too much.
Yeah.
It's just too much for me, and that just means, damn, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Right? Because I would have ate it all up.
Well, you don't have that level of anger anymore.
No,
I mean,
I'm not.
You can't sustain
it. It's like I can't really... you know, as people ask me about, is Dangerous Toys ever going to put out a new record? I see, well, we were 20 when we made that the big record that everyone just wants to hear when they come see us. They just want to hear that record.
Right.
Let's show everybody our cards, right? You want me to write a record? Do you want
that's
it to
match that?
Do you want it to sound like that? Well, I'm 50 years old. Do you want me to write cock rock songs now, or do you want me to write just kick-ass rock and roll?
Yeah.
You know, do you want me to try to go back, because, you know, let's write another record that's not going to sell because the audience just wants to hear Tease and Pleasing and Scared.
Right. Does that at any point upset you?
I'm polluted that way. I feel like I'm polluted because it's true, right? I could cry and cut myself and bleed a great rock and roll record, me and the Toys, Dangerous Toys, and it would be who we are and where we are now in our rock and roll sensibilities, and it would probably be very colorful. It would have a little bit of everything in it, probably. And then it wouldn't sell, and I would feel like I would be right as to where if we were in a room, and this is a ridiculous cartoon and video in my brain of me and the Toys guys sitting around at a studio going, does that sound like Sportin' a Woody enough to you? Okay, good, let's use it. You know what I mean? And it's like a bunch of old men writing dick songs.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see it. I don't see it being a good idea.
No.
I think that writing good heavy metal tinged rock and roll songs that are sort of outlaw, you know, bad boy image stuff, that never gets old. That shit's kick ass.
Yeah.
That's never going to get old.
It's been going on since rock and roll started.
That's right. You ain't nothing but a hound. Yeah. No, that's the shit, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like all the bad boy stuff and like name calling people out and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Blues, you know, bad love, love gone bad,
yeah.
You know, I think that kind of stuff is what rock and roll is supposed to be about. You know, an angry tinged, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see a new Dangerous Toys record happening.
I understand that.
Because of that. And,
well, it's like if an AC/DC or something. Oh, Jesus.
They have a new record coming out.
Would they have to get a new drummer, right? What happened to
they were going to have... I think they were going to have to do that anyway because of... You saw that?
I saw it online this morning.
Yeah. It's around. I just came from a meeting a little while ago this morning, and that was the coffee subject. You know, it was like...
What happened? I didn't really read it. I just saw it and I thought I'd
Phil
ask you.
Rudd, AC/DC, yeah. has been accused of procuring a murder. He's been allegedly accused. He did not file a plea of guilty or not guilty. Okay. Probably lawyers
said don't say
anything. He's lawyered up and
he's in New Zealand or something.
It all happened in New Zealand, you know. He's probably got a castle in New Zealand, you know. But he got raided. It would be today, date wise, but it's yesterday in New Zealand, right?
Right.
So it was yesterday. Wow. Technically this morning, but it was this morning yesterday.
So they put out a new album. If they put out a new album, it's
coming
not,
out.
Right. But yeah, it's not.
And Malcolm,
it's not like
you know
people
about,
are going to go see their shows to see the new album. They're going to see
Greatest Hits,
Dirty Deeds.
Just like people don't care who's in Kiss anymore either.
Well,
that's how bad.
Do.
That's of course we do, but that's how bad it is. You know, they hire young bucks to come out and wear the makeup. It's going to be, you know, AC/DC's had a slightly revolving door of drummers anyway. Fans are going to be, they'll get over
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And Malcolm, the sad thing, Malcolm is not going to be in
touring?
The band either.
Oh.
I don't even know if he played on the record, Johnny. He had a couple of strokes, and now he's got a bout of dementia, and it's real bad.
That's awful.
Yeah, it is awful. And I was a fan of their cousin's band. They have a cousin named Stevie Young, and Stevie Young had a band in the 80s called Starfighters. And I have their records, and it's really fun. It reminds me of the Fabulous Thunderbirds meets AC/DC.
That's awesome.
It's like R&B, four on the floor, yeah. you know what I mean? The singer's real bluesy.
Yeah.
And I love it. As songs are rolling in my head right now. It makes me want to sing them. Anyway, Stevie Young was the guitarist in that, and there was a tour where Malcolm actually was quoted in a press release. Yeah, drinking's getting in the touring is getting in the way of my drinking. You know, as a funny quip,
yeah.
And you know, cousin Stevie from the Starfighters stepped in on that. Could have been like Ballbreaker or something.
Yeah,
it was that long, 90s or something.
Wow,
it could have been 80s. I don't know. It could have been Fly on the Wall or something. Who knows? But Stevie Young has been. Done the tour before,
yeah.
And he looks exactly like him anyway. He just looks—he's a young, he's short, little, family,
and loud
family kid, you know, who's kick-ass rock and roll guitar player.
Yeah.
So he's going to be on the tour. I don't know if he played on the record or not, but Stevie Young is in the promo photo. Phil Rudd is not.
Mm.
Mysteriously, at press time, mysteriously. No one in any article where they're talking about Malcolm, they're saying Malcolm's not in the photo, parentheses, and neither is Phil Rudd, and we don't know why, in parentheses, talking about Malcolm's ailment.
Okay.
So that's all I know about that. But they have a new single called Play Ball.
Is it good?
I don't know yet.
Oh.
I loved Black Ice, though. That was 5 years ago, man.
It's amazing that. Do you feel... Like, look, when I listen to the Evil United, and I think about in terms of, there's no blues in that. No blues rock.
The
happening.
Solos, the solos are bluesy.
Really? I thought them would be
there's
very.
There's some look at me, wheedly wheedlies.
Classical, kind of like, and there's some nice guitar pieces on there too. A couple of really
the. Dude, the guitar players in that band are out of control. John Valenzuela and Todd Connolly. They're just like they're solid as rocks.
Yeah.
And everything's tuned to C or some shit, which makes it kind of modern, and the production is digital, which, you know, it just kind of stacks up. It's brutal metal, but it's also very classic.
That's what I felt like there was.
There's a heavy Judas Priest influence.
Yeah.
There's some UFO, like old Brit rock and roll, like new wave of British heavy metal stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good mix of old and new as a review I've heard. There's been really mixed reviews on the record.
Really?
Yeah, some people can't. Some people don't. Understand it.
Are there people that expect a certain thing from you? You'd think that by now they'd fucking realize that you wear so many hats as a musician and as an artist.
I'm not trying to confuse anybody.
No, I don't think so. No, you're just following your heart, I think.
Right. I mean, I have a lot of itches to scratch. Yeah. And another way to say it is I have a hard time saying no to someone who's got what I feel is a great song or a great album without a singer or something they need from me and they ask for my help. It's hard for me to say no. If I hear the shit and it inspires me and moves me in a certain way, I'll say yes and I'll bleed all over it.
Is that how you got in that band?
Yeah.
They just came to you and they were old friends
of mine. They were old friends of mine. In the 90s, there was a band that was around about 10 years from San Antonio called Pitbull Daycare. Mm-hmm. Do you know who that is? No. Do you ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. That's basically Evil United, but with me singing.
Okay.
They lost their singer. Their singer was moving on, and they had riffs and songs. And Pitbull Daycare, they toured with Ministry. They were very industrial metal and very, like, almost danceable, you know,
right.
Kick drum every beat, you know, but very churning old Nine Inch Nails Ministry vibe, you know, right. Dance club, but fucking metal.
Yeah.
With kind of shouty vocals with a lot of effects and just, you know, that whole, you know, evil Marilyn Manson vibe, right? That whole industrial, apocalyptic, evil saw blades going on, you know, pads and, you know, screaming and, you know, that were all digital and layered on either a DAT or someone's hitting a pad on a keyboard.
Right.
And it was part of the show.
Right.
With, you know, Buckets of Blood and that whole...
Oh, really?
Fun.
That's cool.
Well, you know, there was a lot of bands back then that were doing that kind of S&M show slash... Jenna Torturers, you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
It's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
So they were doing that, Pitbull Daycare. And I was backstage hanging out with those guys with a mutual friend of ours who plays drums in Machine Head. Mm-hmm. You ever heard of Machine mm-hmm. Head? Yeah. He's from San Antonio, Dave McLean. And anyway, I love that, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yep. I know who that is.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, if we send you some shit, you try to write some shit, put some stuff together? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to say no to that. You guys are pro. Yeah. So I had to at least hear it. Well, I fucking heard it, and I was like, oh my God. So they said, there's no hurry. There's no deadline. We don't even live in the same city. We're all busy as shit, but we have all these, an album's worth of material. So I just took my time. It took me almost 2 years to write that record.
The first one?
Yes.
Wow.
And, maybe not 2 years, but a fucking long time. And, you know, I demoed out about 80% of the material. And the last few tunes, I didn't demo them out at all. I just wrote the words and went right into the studio. This is before I was using my gizmo.
Right.
Figured out I could use my gizmo to do this. Booking studio time. I'll just do it here in the bathroom, you know? So anyway, they freaked out. They loved it. And we came up with a band name and blah, 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 blah. Boom. You know, Evil United, a band is born. The same thing happened with Igniter, who's here in town.
Yeah, yeah.
They lost their singer, Erica, who was and is a good friend of mine. Still, I basically replaced her in Igniter. Stuart, the guitarist, is in my Judas Priest tribute, Sadwings.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm at Sadwings rehearsal one night, and I knew they had been auditioning singers. And I'm like, how's that going?
Yeah.
What are the auditions all about? Laughter. And he's telling me, oh, we had a guy in earlier today that was just ridiculous, you know what I mean? Just laughable and just, you know, God, you know, because metal singing is not, it's like character acting, right?
Yeah.
You can't just come in and be a choir boy.
No.
You have to be able to go into these fits of...
That's a great way to describe it. I was going to ask you that sort of thing.
It's a place you go. You want to create this...
persona.
Gollum.
Yeah.
Right? You want to go to a place and create that. And that's what metal singing is.
Yeah.
If it's that kind of metal, right?
Yeah.
There is metal that has proper, very proper singing to it. And it's a lot of power metal that has that. And I personally find a lot of that semi-trite and boring.
Like what?
You know, where if everything is just sung, I am singing heavy metal, I am singing.
Yeah, but huge.
And then tenor and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
even Dio would go into these fits of rage where he would be a character and have this thing happen.
Yeah.
But also what I just said that I kind of was jesting about, he does that too. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah,
but
I know what you're saying now.
If you don't take it to another planet for a second, at least every other verse or chorus or something, have some sort of like explosion of emotion.
Yeah.
It's not metal to me. It's just this boring, oh yeah, here's some heavy metal riffs and they're executed excellent and the singer is fantastic, but you're a choir boy.
Yeah.
There's not enough going on for me to grab onto.
Yeah.
Right.
I get that.
So they were having these people come in and maybe it was a little bit of that or they just didn't know what they were doing. It was laughable. And I was like, man, God damn it, that upsets me because you guys, you know, I was talking to Stuart about them being very, very... you know, they're a great band. And I'm telling them, you guys are too good to not, you know, can I hear the songs? You know what I mean? And I heard the material and I was like, I'll at least do the record with you guys. And so, I turned the lights on for them. You know what I mean? And they I made a record with them. And next thing you know, we're playing live. And I'm like, yeah, this is cool. I'll do this. There's no pressure.
Yeah.
Right?
That's great.
And so that's kind of happenstance, you know. And that's how I end up in so many fucking bands is if there's somebody's on a crutch, you know what I mean? And it's a friend of mine and it's I'm a fan already or an old friend of and it's pro and it's easy for me to just kind of stand on the X and be Jason, but be Igniter or be Evil United and be creative and have it be a constant.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Why not? There's no reason for me to stifle anything that inspires me.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not making money at it.
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to put a brick in front of chalk the tires.
Yeah.
There's no reason at all.
Well, that's what's kept you, I think, healthy and vital as an artist.
I hope
you're still always making new stuff.
Right. You know, and the touring, the bottom fell out of touring, you know, for me years ago when, you know, the price of diesel went up.
Yeah.
It's still looking at $4. It's right underneath $4 a gallon. And I don't see who has all the fucking money if you're a DIY.
Yeah.
To just get the fucking get to the gig.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to take a bus, and I like to take a bus. My days of curling up in the human question mark are over.
Yeah.
Yeah, back problems.
Yeah, those are terrible.
Back problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm healthy, but I wasn't healthy when I was riding around in a van across the U.S. every year.
Yeah.
So I don't do that anymore. So it's cool that I can make tons of music at home.
Yeah. That's nice, too.
And still have a semi-global base of people who seem to give a shit.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
I didn't set out when you think about when you're a kid and you're obsessed with rock and roll and guitars and loud music and whatever it is, whatever you're attracted to, that shit's talking to you. It's your language. And you're obsessed because that shit is speaking to you because it's your language.
Yeah.
The kids around you who are out riding their bikes and playing football think you're weird because you're obsessed with your record player and your guitars.
Yeah.
And you're weird.
Yeah.
But you think they're weird that they don't see what you see.
Yeah.
You see glitter coming up off the record player.
Yeah.
Fog and magic and
totally.
Merlin and how is it? This is Black Sabbath. Yeah, it sounds like noise to me. Let's go play football. You know, no, let's worship Black Sabbath right now. And so, you know, it turns into, I want to learn how to do that. It's not like I want to make a lot of money being a rock
Not
star.
Not at all. I just want to learn how to do that.
And once you realize that you have to make it, fast forward to now, once you take your lifelong obsession and you've, okay, I'm stuck with this.
Yeah.
And I still love it as much as I did or more because I get to, I've gotten to do it.
Yeah.
And have been up and down successful. And, you know, you keep throwing gas on the fire to keep the fire lit.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your job.
We're pros.
If you get paid to do that, yeah, great. If you don't get paid to stand there and keep pouring gas on that fire, it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't fucking matter.
You gotta get it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's the best analogy I've got.
Yeah. You, man, people can find out all the stuff you do by going to jasonmcmaster.net. And I have another question.
Okay.
One more. Who did the logo for Evil United, and how did they do it where it does the angel thing where when you turn it upside down, it still says
It's cool
it.
That you know
That's
about
so
Angel.
Cool.
I saw Angel play in 77 open for Ted Nugent.
They opened for Ted Nugent?
Yeah, it was like my second or third concert down in Corpus Christi. My first concert was UFO and Rush in 77. I think it was the same year that I saw Angel open for Ted Nugent.
Wow.
And
I don't know any Angel songs, but I remember that they're
There's a song called Tower that's really good.
Yeah.
And they were like if Journey mixed with Kiss.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very melodic. They had a lot of keyboards. They were kind of sappy and happy
right.
in places. And they weren't very... They were more major than they were minor.
Wasn't a Jafria yeah. in there?
Yeah. Okay. Greg Jafria.
Yeah. Because I read this book about Casablanca Records. And
they
kind of
developed
that band to be Angel as opposed to Kiss, who was you know, all demonic.
Right.
And then they wanted to do like... specific things where like if you did turn shit upside down it still said the same thing it didn't say you know something else.
I believe I don't quote me on this. I believe that's called to your question an ambigram.
I think so.
I think that's
I
right.
think that's what it's called.
And there's an app that will do it for you.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So just look that up.
I will.
But I think that there's an app for all, you know what I mean? There's an app for me taking a piss that's coming out tomorrow, you know what I mean? I don't have to get up anymore. Yeah. There's an app that does it for me. The story on that Evil United logo is just my guitar player had a friend and who just put that together for us. But it's kick-ass.
It is kick-ass.
It's a great...
Yeah.
It's perfect for Evil United because we're not a satanic heavy metal band.
No.
It's dark as fuck,
yeah.
But it's not satanic. It's not, we don't, you know, religion we could give a shit about. Our religion is writing good songs about dark subject.
Right.
And Evil United is kind of like, we like the name. It's not the best band name in the world either, but we like the name because we're not all from... We're all from Texas, so we're united in that way, but we're also in all of these other headspaces.
Yeah.
And cities.
Yeah.
And we're gone, but we're still there the whole time because we all know each other and we've known each other for years.
Yeah.
Through different circles. The drummer in Evil United, my old band Godzilla Motor Company, opened for a band that he was in when he was living in Florida called Neurotica. I believe that's
right. Name.
Yeah, I think I have the CD, the Neurotica CD, and he's on it. He was like, you know, 18 or something when he was in that band. And Godzilla Motor Company opened for them at the back room in like 99.
Wow.
And so it wasn't that long later that he was out of Florida and living in San Antonio playing with Pitbull Daycare.
Wow.
It was just weird how that happened.
Small world.
Yes.
Is there any Godzilla Motor Company... action?
None. You know, we wrote about two albums worth of material, and it's still some of the best material
I've
ever written. And the writers, you know, me and Bobby and Chris Conley, Bobby Rock, who's a rock star now.
Yeah.
He's in Down.
Yeah.
He's kicking ass.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
He was on the show. I actually just saw pictures of him with another friend of mine. He's a super metalhead. Who's Barry Gibb's son? This guy, Steve Gibb. Do you know?
Yeah,
Steven?
I know Steve Gibb. Yeah. He was in Black Label Society for a while, and Crowbar.
Yeah,
he might still be in Crowbar.
I don't know if he still is.
Okay,
but there were some pictures of them together. I think Honky's on the Road.
Yeah. Anytime I would see him, there would be Spencer
and
other cousins or whatever. Yeah. It was family night. Oh, it's gonna be family night.
Yeah.
Which I love, but I miss that. I haven't seen Steve in a long time, but yeah, I met him through Spencer actually at a Black Label show. Someone told me.
I bet he flipped out when he met. I mean, that guy's like fucking. That guy loves fucking rock.
Steve?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he can do it all.
Oh yeah.
He's bass player, guitar player, singer. He can do it all. Well, just like Spencer.
Yeah.
Just like anybody with the last name Gibb.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, Bobby's doing great, and I'm proud. And, you know, between the three of us and the plethora of drummers that we had, I should mention Ben Burton, because he was the original drummer when the songs were being put together.
Right.
Some of the greatest, good. It's rock and roll.
It's fucking amazing.
But it's everything.
Yeah.
It was fucking everything. And Bobby's sensibility to just having a good time exudes on the grooves that he writes when he writes a riff.
Yeah.
And it can fit in a boogie woogie thing, because he likes funk. When he played with Dino Lee, he loves that kind of, you know, ZZ Top is a funky rock band.
Yeah.
He loves
that's
that.
His jam,
that's his whole vibe.
Yeah.
And so that fits where he is now. Honky is all about that vibe. He's born to be in honky, because it is that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is a solar system of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He totally is.
Yeah. But Godzilla stuff is, you know, I have people, that stuff won't die either. I've had people just bring that up. Just the other day, someone was bringing that
Such
up.
Such a great band.
Yeah. Some of those songs that have been remixed are flying on my Reverb Nation page.
Okay.
They can just look up Reverb Nation, Jason McMaster, and there's a couple of Godzilla
songs on
there.
And there's links to everything. If you go to jasonmcmaster.net, you've got
it's a pretty good site.
Yeah, it's a great site. You can go through and find links to everything, and there's a lot of Reverb Nation stuff. Is there anything I'm missing? I remember.
There's a lot of shit, but whatever.
Yeah, but we had one where we went through your life, but this is good catching up. We should do it. More often.
Yeah, we should do it at least once a year.
Once a year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think things are going to change enough for us to do it once a year, but I really like you a lot. So.
Dude, I like you too. That means a lot. You've always been a great supporter and just a fucking someone that I've always looked up to. Someone that's always working hard and doing very important things. And
thank you.
Doing, like, being a fucking musician.
Yeah.
A pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, all you can do is just do it because you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you, Jason.
You got it.
Always a great time hanging out with Jason McMaster, man. I love that guy. All right, so that is his band, Evil United. Get out there, check him out. You can find out all of his bands. He does so much different stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing this Captain Fantastic band that he's got going. Should be exciting. But he's also, in a ton of original bands. So go check it out. Look him up, jasonmcmaster.net. Find out what's going on with all the bands, including Evil United. So he's got a song out, a solo song called Xmas Time, which he released, I guess, last year for Christmas. It's a great song, even just outside of Christmas. But I know those of you who like to put together playlists for Christmas of Christmas songs that are sort of outside the box, sort of the non-Frosty the Snowman, non-traditional Christmas songs, this is a great Christmas song for your playlist. So get out there on iTunes. You can buy it. Jason McMaster, Xmas Time. While you are on iTunes, you can subscribe to this podcast, How Did I Get Here? You'll get 2 episodes a week. It'll be great. You can also like our Facebook page. You'll get information about what's coming up, what shows are coming up, and also what's going on with guests that have been on the show. And you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy, all right? Let's hear Jason McMaster play some different kind of music than you're used to hearing him play. This is my friend Jason McMaster with his song Xmas Time. You guys have a great day. Please, let's get down.
Snow angels in the front yard, holding hands and counting stars in the cool night. Christmas carol of singing. See the tinsel, see the gold, old man winter nipping at your nose. It's that time of year again. Tis the season to give the gift of love and share with the world a better time, a better place, a better memory. Because the holidays can change your mind. Remember, it's just not Christmas time without your friends and your family. Snowman waving hello, smoking his corn cob pipe. Reminds me of a cozy fire. See my baby smiling in the front doorway with open arms. Look out for the mistletoe. Oh no, 'tis the season to give the gift of love and share with the world a better time, a better place, a better memory. Because the holidays can change your mind. Remember, it's just not Christmas time, yeah, without your friends and your family. You can't help but feel the warming cheer. Both young and old will have no fear. Believe the spirit may bless us all this time of year. Hear the bells ringing in time with the bustle of the shoppers on their feet. They're keeping those Christmas elves so busy. Tis the season to give the gift of love and share with the world a better time, a better place, a better memory. Because the holidays can change your mind. Remember, it's just not Christmas time without your friends and your family. Without your friends and your family. Tis the season to give the gift of love and share with the world a better time, a better place, a better memory. Because the holidays can change your mind. Remember, it's just not Christmas time without your friends and your family. Without your friends and your family. Merry Christmas to your friends.